Blog Talk Radio.
Cut us a check.
Welcome to the war room. We got Dev, Kim, Jimmy, PJ, B. Austin, the hot block commander.
How you wanna end a 1 or 2 hour show to get the brain running with the premise of talk sports on a national level? Bold with the topic, sort of like the rubber. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five during prime time. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. For sports medicine, sports veterans and greats. The 4 for 26 saw the war in Kuwait. It's the war room with 5 knights at the round table. 5 Philly guys, diversified and educated.
War Room Nation, what up? Welcome back to your favorite show. You are once again live in the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports. I'm Devin McMillan, and I'm joined by Jimmy the Blueprint Williams and B. Austin. We got a great show for you today, so let's get right to it. But before we do, make sure you join us right now in the JW Philly Realty chat room at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom, or join us on Facebook or Twitter at War Room Sports to get into the conversations. You can also call us directly when we open up the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline. That number is 323-410-0012. We also need you guys to check out our partners, Roy and Chris, on the Broad Street line every Tuesday at 6 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. And check the listings for Brandon and Daniel on Sports Trap Radio, now on the iHeart Radio Network. But don't worry, if you can't catch them live, you can hear and watch these guys and all of our other partner podcasts and webcasts at warroomsports.blogspot.com. And in addition, don't forget to catch us in syndication 3 times on Fridays on newviberadio.com. That's 7 a.m., 1 p.m., and 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And on Sundays and Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time on fatsradio.com. Fellas, generals, what's been the highlight of your week so far? What's going on?
Man, I had a very, very glorious week, man. You know, a lot of sports going on.
Glorious.
We got to talk to the children yesterday, you know, and handling business as usual, man. College basketball's back in the swing. So it's a very exciting time, man. We talk about football, college basketball, then everyday NBA, yo. I just need more hours in the day.
All right, well, yeah, like Jimmy just said, we did get to talk to the children yesterday. So shout out to Mastery Charter Schools, the Thomas Campus, and South Philadelphia. We got to make it down there yesterday, you know, just to talk to the children a little bit about, you know, what you can do in professional sports in the industry if you don't make it as an athlete. Because, you know, a lot of young kids want to be professional athletes these days. And, you know, you kind of got to give them a little bit of reality check, give them the statistics of how possible that is, but let them know, you know, if that goal doesn't come to fruition, then there's a lot you can do in the sports industry to stay around your favorite games. I mean, it's what we do for a living. So,
I had to get that message
to the children.
Yo, shout out to all the kids who went after B. Austin because he slandered LeBron in his speech, and they pretty much been right in his neck. So I want to shout out those kids especially, man. You know what I'm saying?
No doubt. All right, so, you know, like Jimmy said, it's been a long week. A lot of little crazy things going on in the world of sports. So we're going to let you guys know what happened this week while y'all were on the grind.
Yo, shout out to all the kids that are going pro and aren't on a varsity sports team.
All right, if you'd like a better TV experience than cable has to offer, including that NFL Sunday ticket, go to our website, warroomsports.com, click on that DirecTV logo, and order yourself a better TV experience at a discounted War Room Sports sign-up rate. If you call yourself a sports fan, then you got to have DirecTV. Dwayne Bowe, fellas, he got busted this week, man. Speed and weed. Y'all know how it goes. He was pulled over for speeding, and what did the officer find in the car? Some of that marijuana. I mean, he was going, I believe, like 48 in a 35-mile-an-hour zone. Officer pulled him over. You know, he had about 10 grams of marijuana in the car. Now, this comes basically at, you know, Kansas City's biggest week of the season thus far is Denver week. You know, division rival, they're 9-0. Denver has one loss, so this is a battle for first place. Is this a distraction for the Chiefs, you guys think?
All right.
They're not suspending them.
First, First things first, yo, shout out to our sponsor, DirecTV. But I think that we may have to change the name of this segment that they sponsor, because we want to make it a segment about what happened while you were on the grind, but it always seems to be something stupid, right? Because every time we do this segment, athletes are just doing something very stupid. Dwayne Bowe, come on, cuz. You riding dirty and you speeding like that. And Andy Reid, shame on you, man. Why don't you sit him down, especially for this week, man? What's wrong with you, man?
coming from the resident Broncos fan.
What kind of example is Andy Reid setting out there, man?
It's funny that speeding is the case. And nah, I'm not saying that I would know, but I didn't think marijuana made you drive faster. Kind of always thought it made you drive a little slower.
It could be dependent upon what he's listening to as well, man. Because some music makes you drive fast. I don't care what nobody says.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, this is one of those situations where it's kind of like, what can you say? He's a professional athlete. He's been in the league for however many years. He knows better. He got caught. It's not the end of the world, you know. Marijuana is vilified. Is it the right thing to do? No, if you're getting paid millions and millions of dollars, I think that you can indulge in that stuff in the off season. But
why
I mean,
be typical? Why be typical? Why be the cliche? Like, is any
right,
of these guys going to, like, get pulled over and not have something illegal in the car? Like,
yeah,
that probably happens all the time. That's why we don't hear about it.
True.
Now, I'm going to ask you guys a question. Is it me or does it seem that is more NFL athletes than any other sport that are always getting in trouble with the law?
It's called the helmet syndrome, Jimmy. Pause. And NFL players go a lot harder than other sports where the face is more recognizable.
Okay.
You talking about
like breaking the law though?
People couldn't see my face this Sunday, so I'm going to go out and get in trouble so they can see my face.
Could it be the fact that the game is so violent that these guys are always, like, amped up? Like, it takes a certain level. Like, you know how we always talk about fighters. It takes a certain type guy to be a fighter, right?
Uh-huh.
It has to take a certain type guy to be a football player as well. And maybe that's
true.
Probably why. Like, a lot of these guys, if you look.
Well, you know that.
I have two things. I mean, one could just be the sheer numbers. There's way more NFL players than, say, NBA players. So, you know, there's more odds that they're going to get in trouble. And then two, if we're talking during the season, NBA players don't really have that much time off. You know what I'm saying? They're playing like four times a week. When they're not playing, they're traveling. So, I mean, if you're going to get in trouble, you may get in trouble a little bit. You know, on the road, but, you know,
even in the off season,
I'm gonna go in a whole other direction and say that.
Yeah, you're right though, Jimmy.
You know,
the off season, NFL players just wild out.
I think it's something to do with
marijuana is known as a painkiller, and NFL players, by and large, are never not injured or never not hurting. So perhaps he was just trying to kill some pain.
Yeah, it's still very cliche, and it's and you know, right before the biggest game of the season, Dev is right about that. I was just wondering, you know, aloud in terms of like the NFL versus other sports, because
if it was Demaryius Thomas that got caught, would you want him sat down this week?
Demaryius Thomas didn't get caught. You know what I mean? Like Demaryius Thomas was saying.
Way to dodge the question.
All right, man.
What else happened, Dev?
But man, moving on, some more. Bad news. Florida State University quarterback Jameis Winston, he's a part of an ongoing sexual assault investigation from 2012 that's going on down there. They haven't said if he's the suspect involved or if he's just being investigated for being around the situation. We really don't know what's going on, but what we do know is Jameis Winston isn't speaking to the police right now. So, man, this is the type of thing that could really hurt his chances at getting that Heisman Trophy this season and moving forward, depending on if he is indeed the suspect and gets convicted you know, it could do a lot to derail this man's career. Look, you know, the path that he's gone.
I would say the Heisman is out of reach, period, now, just based on the allegations. Just based on the allegations alone, whether guilty or innocent, it's going to shape the voters. It's going to shape their opinion of him, and it's going to attach a stigma to him. I don't think the Heisman is within reach with him having, you know, something like this on his record. Just an accusation.
Yeah. It's very sad, man. It's like, because it's one of those situations where we don't have a lot of information. So, I hope he's not the actual suspect, but we don't know what's really going on. But with that being said, man, I try to tell people all the time, especially people who are younger college students or even high school, say, yo, every decision you make has consequences, man. And the fact of the matter is he's on a big platform, so it's going to be highlighted, and it's going to have a whole different effect. And this guy, he can literally change the course of his whole life if this story ends up being as bad as many believe it to be. But everything's all speculation, like you said, Dad, because we really don't know what it is. But it could change the entire trajectory of this man's life.
And from the facts of the case so far, like I said, they're not putting out much. But from what I've seen so far, he could possibly get off. I don't know if he, you know, had anything to do with it or not. But in the complaint filed, you know, this happened back last December. And in the incident report, the offender was said to be between 5'9" and 5'11". We all know this dude is like 6'4". So, you know, either the person is a bad judge of height or it just wasn't him. So hopefully, you know, that the latter is the case and this dude can resume, you know, what's been a pretty good college career so far and keep going. I mean, maybe, you know, he didn't have his contact on. He put it in the wrong place. I don't know, man.
I would go further with Jimmy's point in saying that it's not just about what you do, but the company you keep. And so, again, we don't know the facts. We don't know much in terms of detail. But if something negative happens, you know, and there's people around and you are associated with those people, you can end up in a bad situation. So you not only have to think about the actions that you pursue, but also the company you keep.
That's one of the hardest lessons of life, yo. My mom would tell me that when I was a kid, and that, yo, it didn't click until I, you know, luckily enough, nothing major ever happened in my life. But that's one of the hardest lessons to ever learn, you know, word to AI. But
the same thing.
It's absolutely true. We have a couple comments in our chat room. Skyview Kevin, the Raiders fan, he says that the FSU alumni will come to the rescue. You know what I mean? So that's when the good old boy network comes in handy. Yeah. They can't,
but
guess what? They got nothing to do with his draft status.
Jim, you're right, though, about, you know, how important that is, the whole company you keep type thing. You know, I didn't had some cheese sandwiches down for the weekend for some, just for the people I've hung around back in.
Hanging out with Dirty and Rick.
It's no fun at all. All right, but, you know, hopefully, I was about to say hopefully he, you know, gets out of this trouble, but hopefully he didn't do it. You know, if he did it, then, you know, I can't be hoping for him in that manner.
Yeah.
But
shout out to Lori McConnell. He's also in our chat room. He said this reminds him of the episode of Good Times when JJ was accused of stealing and sent to jail. When they found the plate, it was a fat guy that did it. Yo, I remember that episode vividly.
Yeah,
5'9"
to 5'11". This boy like 2-guard height. All right, y'all. So we got another professional athlete apologizing the day after he tweeted something that a lot of people found that was stupid. And the culprit this time, the JoJo Award winner this time, is Matt Barnes. Now, we know Matt Barnes is kind of a lightweight enforcer, you know, on the teams that he's played on, tough guy. Last night, I'm not sure if everyone was watching or not, you know, the Clippers and Thunder got into an altercation. Again, it involved Serge Ibaka and Blake Griffin. Matt Barnes came to Blake Griffin's rescue, shoved Serge Ibaka, Serge Ibaka cocked his fist like he was going to punch Matt Barnes. Matt Barnes didn't even budge. Serge probably felt like a little chick, a little girl this morning after watching the video on that. Like, I couldn't even scare the dude. So Matt Barnes was ejected from the game. Did Serge get ejected? I believe Serge Ibaka got ejected as well. And Blake Griffin just got a technical foul. Anyway, during the third quarter of the game, from the locker room, your man Matt Barnes tweets, while the game is still going on, I quote, "I love my teammates like family, but I'm done standing up for these ninjas, these N-words, and all this SHI, this sugar honey iced tea does is cost me money." Of course, the tweet was later deleted, and of course, today he had a couple of apology tweets. "I'd like to take a second to apologize to the LA Clippers organization, my teammates and coaching staff, and the Clips fans for my actions." He went on to, you know, to say the normal stuff. He said, "I could have taken the easy way out and say that my account got hacked, but I'm going to stand up and be a man." So what do you guys think about everything involved in this situation?
In terms of the incident, it was kind of funny because he definitely just gave him the ice grill, and he cocked back. Like, he really cocked back. You guys see the footage. And, you know, I was shocked.
Matt Barnes was like,
"I
wish you would."
Light skin dudes usually run like that, yo. Light skin dudes usually run like that, yo.
So,
Jeff, you said that Matt Barnes gets the JoJo Award. I'm actually going to give the JoJo Award to Serge Ibaka.
You should be ashamed of yourself. The way you carry yourself.
Because you got chumped by Light skin dudes.
To be honest, because
you're a big diesel African dude, and you can't even make a light-skinned dude flinch. Like, something wrong.
No, he didn't flinch at all.
A light-skinned dude with beautiful hair. His hair is beautiful.
So, Matt Barnes did most of his behavior was correct in that situation, in the sense that he came to the aid of his teammate when he smelled a female dog that was about to swing on him and knew it was pump faking. He didn't budge. I mean, the only thing he did wrong was retract his tweet. Like,
yo, but here's the thing, though.
But you know,
Oh,
go ahead, Jen.
I said that he basically admitted to saying it. He just took it down. Like, thing is, when you listen to what he said, I think he was worried about leaving it up and getting, hit in the pocket a little bit more. My thing is, if you about your teammates, right, and dude is coming to your defense, you cut him a check, man. You got to take care of your boons, man. You can't have dudes out there like, you know what I mean? Like, Blake Griffin makes a gazillion dollars, right? You got to take care of the guys like Matt Barnes that got your back because, I mean, you softer than Ralph Tres, man. You need guys like Matt Barnes to protect you.
Yeah. My thing is I don't think he retracted his tweet because I don't think it had anything to do with not meaning what he did or not meaning what he said. I think it was basically all about he was starting to get backlash because he used the N-word. So you don't want to keep that up there because, you know, that's just – it just looked bad sitting up there. They went and asked his coach about it. You know, Doc Rivers, you know, he basically agreed with everything except for the word that he chose to use. So I think it was much more about that than anything else because we know he's always down for his teammates. That his particular these teammates are like Mark Men in the NBA because everybody thinks they're soft, especially Blake Griffin.
It's crazy watching them play. When you watch them play, right, teams go at them a different way than they go at everybody else. I was watching OKC last night, and OKC is a little bit soft, to be honest with you. But when they play the Clippers, like even Durant is acting tough. I'm like, yo, y'all are considered so soft that you have soft teams coming at you. So, it's going to be difficult. They have to get over it. And I know it drives CP3 crazy. Like, it drives him crazy because I think he's starting to, like, turn on his teammates. He thinks they're soft, too.
Funny thing, Jim, is that they're discussing it right now on the four letters I'm watching on the monitor. And it's like these days it doesn't really matter if you take down your tweet because everybody's already got it and they're going to flash it all around TV. For the next 24 hours, it's going to be flashed all around.
And I want to say something about that, too, as well, right? Like, I'm kind of wild at times on Twitter when I get emotional watching sports. I don't take anything down, but I do get wild at times. But even me, I have, like, a filter. I have people like, yo, is that too crazy before I put it up? So if you're a professional athlete, yo, have somebody you can run your tweets by. Because I'll be ready to say stuff sometimes, and, you know, believe it or not, and somebody's like, oh, don't put that up. And I won't put it up because of that. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't want to, like, break Title VII with all my disrespect. Anyway, but Matt Barnes, man.
At the very least, though, Jim, at the very least, you own the company you work for, so who going to check me, boo? That's what I ask myself when I'm about to say something ignorant. I go charade on him. Yeah. Who going to check me, boo?
You go charade on him, yo. Yo, man. Not that I've seen that show. Like, no, I'll watch it. I ain't going to hold you. But anyway, man.
Watch all the ratchetness in the trash.
Yo, got to, man. Got to. Make you feel better about your life. But, yo, the Clippers have to do something long term. We'll probably talk about them later when we get to more basketball, man. But that was a hilarious situation.
Yo. All right. So the last story we want to talk about what happened this week while you guys were on the grind. Glenn Big Baby Davis of the Orlando Magic. This man was trying to check into a travel lodge. Why are you trying to stay at a travel lodge? That's the first problem. He should probably get a JoJo for that. It was 4 a.m. He just lost to the Celtics. He was trying to get a room. The clerk tells him the place is booked. So the dude throws a tantrum. He picks up the keyboard from the clerk's computer and slings it across the lobby, breaking it.
Yeah.
He had a meltdown because Travel Lodge didn't have a room. First of all, you're in Orlando.
Man.
All the hotels, the cheap hotels, people trying to go to Disney, man. Like,
yo, in my menace voice, yo, I got to tell you, I've seen the videotape, right? And here's my problem, yo. Big Baby Davis, he's making this current year $6.5 million. And not that you shouldn't be frugal, and then maybe he was trying to, like, creep. He was going to a travel lodge, right? They lost to the Celtics that night. You get a JoJo award for that, too, for losing to the Celtics. But then you're showing up at the travel lodge at 4 a.m., right?
You went in the room for a couple hours. He must have had a toot with him.
Yo, but he ain't had no young ladies with him. And then the clerk wasn't even, like, jumping bad with him. He just said, yo, we're booked. He picks up the keyboard, slams it, throws it, and then walks off with his chest pumped out like he really did something, yo. Listen,
yo,
man.
And the rate. You
should be ashamed of yourself. The way you carry yourself.
Yo, I've checked. The rate, the weekend rate at that travel lodge, $50.
$50
a night.
Girl.
He was trying to go into a $50 hotel and was mad because it was booked. Note to Big Baby Davis, there are more poor people in this world than there are rich people. So excuse us, you know, if we're filling up the travel lodge, the motel sticks. Excuse us if we're filling those places up and you, with your $6.5 million salary, can't get a room. Come on, dude.
and also, you just came off a loss to the Celtics. Yo, I can see the team that could beat the Celtics, yo.
That's why he was mad. That's why he was mad.
Yeah, man. Like, oh, come on,
Carl. But Orlando, they're the Celtics equal, so he can't be that mad.
But you have to understand that it's going to be on, like, do you guys think, yo, everything's on camera now, man. You just have to assume that anything you do is going to be on camera. So you can't just walk around, like, and act this way, man, especially with something that's stupid.
Yeah.
He's one of those dudes that, like, his nickname really captures who he is.
That's another
one. His action. Like, he really is Big Baby. Kevin from Kevin Garnett making him cry to him throwing temper tantrums. He's Big Baby.
Yeah,
man.
I can't explain people's behavior, man, but he definitely should be ashamed of himself. But that's what happened this week, everybody. While y'all were out on the grind trying to make an honest dollar, we had millionaires out here slinging computers at the travel lodge. Jimmy, let everybody know who's having a birthday this week, man.
Absolutely. Time to give some birthday shout-outs, everybody. The birthdays are brought to you by Dr. Monique Rowe from Alexandria Podiatry Associates. This is the best podiatrist in the world because I said so. For the best and comprehensive treatment of injuries to your foot, your ankle, or your lower extremities, visit Dr. Monique Rowe of Alexander Podiatry Associates. We call them APA, you know what I'm saying, because we like acronyms. They're treating patients in the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area, also known as the DMV, and beyond. Visit www.alexandriapodiatry.org or call 703 373-379-0700. The number is 703-379-0700. Don't forget, tell them War Room Sports sent you, because you will get the hookup.
My birthday! Yay! And
some birthday shout-outs, gentlemen. Lawyer Malloy turns 40 this week.
Yeah.
Also,
man, didn't he retire like 2 weeks ago?
It seems like it, right? David Wesley turns 43. The L train.
Yo, David Wesley used to get his head cracked by Allen Iverson while wearing Iverson shoes. That's all I got to say about David Wesley.
That made it worse, yo. Lionel Simmons, the L train, one of the greatest basketball players in Philadelphia history, turns 45. People forget how nice Lionel Simmons was, but he was nice. Kurt Schilling turns 47. The guy with the fake bloody sock, that wasn't real. I don't care what any of y'all say. He turns 47. Yeah, Kurt Schilling is a coward. Yo, anyway, with that being said, we'd like to give a nice big warm salute to all these gentlemen on their birthdays. Before we move on with the show, Dev, tell everybody how they can get in touch with us.
My birthday! Yay!
Will do. All right, everybody out there in War Room land, make sure you check out our website at warroomsports.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the War Report. That's our weekly newsletter. Click on the Contact Us tab to send a message about our company, our show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. You can also inquire about, you know, us showing up to talk to the babies if you need us to. For general inquiries, email us at info@warroomsports.com while you're browsing the site. Click on the memorabilia tab to buy War Room Sports merchandise. Click the blog tab to read our latest sports articles in the All's Fair in Sports and War blog. Then click the respective icons to like our Facebook page, follow us on Twitter, subscribe to our iTunes podcast, download our free War Room Sports mobile app, and to watch our videos at warroomsportstv.com. Join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom to enter the chat room. Just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to do that, you can sign in through your Facebook or your Twitter accounts. And while you're at it, click follow to get updates and reminders about the show every week. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room during the show. To call in and speak with us directly on the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline, dial 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. Now,
real quick though, I just want to bring up a great point made by Skyview in the chat room. He said, "Yo, who bleeds from their ankle though? Have you ever seen anybody else bleed from their ankle though?" I mean,
yo, y'all crazy.
All the sports we watch, have you ever seen anyone else in all sports bleed from their ankle, yo?
My man toe was bleeding, man. Leave him alone.
Go ahead, King. Yo, go ahead, man.
All right, man. We're going let's bring back a segment. We used to do this all the time, man. People loved it. We need to bring it back a little bit more. We're going to play a little round of HOF or FOH. And for those who are first-time listeners, or even if you're not a first-time listener, you just haven't been listening long enough to know what HOF or FOH is, this is the segment where everybody here at the round table, we take an athlete from any sport and we decide whether this player will get into the War Room Sports Hall of Fame or if that player should FOH. Use your imagination if you don't know what FOH means. And I emphasize War Room Sports Hall of Fame because in a lot of cases, these players could be surefire Hall of Famers for the sport that they play in, or they could already be in the Hall of Fame. We're in the business of taking people out of the Hall of Fame if we so choose. So, I've chosen a player.
Let's go.
From the sport of football. My fellow co-hosts, my brothers, B. Austin, Jimmy, today's subject will be middle linebacker, Washington Redskins, one Mr. London Fletcher. HOF or FOH? This may be one of the most difficult ones we've done thus far.
B. Austin sounds
like he has an adamant answer for us, so you can start us off. Let us know.
Funds on hold, view bar, Fuckenzeigens out of here. absolutely not. I realize that. yeah. London Bridge is falling down. I think that London Fletcher is a very good player, an overachiever. But I don't believe that just because you collect stats means that you should be in the Hall of Fame. And while there will be plenty of folks that will make a case for him based on the numbers, I will tell you right now, the moment that you do that for London Fletcher is the moment that you must allow Vinny Testaverde into the Hall of Fame. Go look at the numbers. And we know that Vinny Testaverde is not a Hall of Famer. I like to use a criteria, and I'll give credit to my brother Jimmy. I use your criteria, man. Can you tell the narrative of football, NFL football, overall, and in this era, with or without that particular player? And I don't think that the narrative of football is missing anything without, you know, if you exclude London Fletcher from the story. The second thing that I look at is dominance and whether teams scheme around that particular player. London Fletcher is a highly intelligent, high IQ, high energy, high effort guy. But I can tell you that at his prime, in his peak, when he was the very best he could be athletically and physically, there was no offensive coordinator that said, oh, God, playing London Fletcher today.
All right,
we got a game plan around London Fletcher.
But wait a minute, Jim. Before we even go into the next thing, you know, in between that, let's have a little statistical intermission. You know, just in case anybody out there wants to call in and weigh in on this, there's a lot of stat heads out there. Here are some highlights to London Fletcher that may sway you one way or they may not sway you one way. But he's in his 18-year career, okay, his first year he wasn't a starter. He only started one game. But for 17 years he's been a full-time starter. He's only missed one game in an 18-year career. He has 38 sacks, 19 forced fumbles, 12 fumble recoveries. He, 18 years, he only got 43 yards off of fumble recoveries. That's nothing. He has 1,360 tackles, 634 assists, and two safeties. He's been to the Pro Bowl four times, but he didn't start making the Pro Bowl until 2009, and that was around the time where he started vocally complaining that he didn't get respect and he didn't make Pro Bowls, and it seems like after that he's been a Pro Bowler, you know, almost every year since.
So in this day and age, they reward
him. And we can't forget that he was the starting middle linebacker on a Super Bowl team in St. Louis. Now, I'm just throwing all that out there just in case anybody didn't know, if it wanted, you know, if you want to change anything, whatever. But, Jimmy, what's your thought on it?
Austin, you use the criteria that I use. And for that same reason, I'm going to say FOH. He's never been a defensive player of the year. I've never heard his name mentioned as being one of the defensive players of the year. But I will give you this, though. Everybody is not a Hall of Famer. I see Scott Buchanan in the chat room who compared him to A.C. Green. I mean, that's disrespectful. I mean, like.
Other than that, he didn't walk around with a green beanie on his head.
He compared him to A.C.
That's kind of disrespectful, because the one thing I will say is London Fletcher was a great player. But just because you're a great player doesn't mean you're a Hall of Famer. London Fletcher is the model of consistency when it comes to that position. He's been probably the most consistent middle linebacker over the last, you know, 14, 15 years. But with that being said, like I always say, the narrative of the game can be told without him being mentioned, for one. For two, like B. Austin said, at his peak, no one schemed around him. I never considered him to be the best or even the second best at his position during
his
time.
Or the third or the fourth or the fifth.
So I would say fun's on hold. In our chat room, Skyview says Franklin, Octavia, Henrietta. So it looks like the people in our chat room are saying FOH to him as well, but I can't put him in. But with that being said, I do want to acknowledge that he is a, you know, a great player, but all great players aren't Hall of Famers. I mean, there's levels to this.
Dev, real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Real quick.
Sure.
There's a point that Jimmy just made. Okay, so when you look at the position, I'm not making a joke here. When has he ever been in the top five middle linebackers in the NFL?
Over 18 years, it's really hard to answer a question like that just right off the top of my head. Even if there was a point, where he was a top five, that could speak to the level of middle linebacker play during this era. I mean, you have Ray Lewis, and you know you have a few more guys, but you know, I don't think this was like the
Derek
golden
Brooks.
Era. Of middle linebackers, but you did have some good ones.
Also, another point in our chat room, shout out to Mont. Mont says that,
you know, Austin had to bring up Derek Brooks.
I know. He loves Derek Brooks. Mont says FOH because dude shouldn't be named London. So, you know, that's what's in our chat room.
Okay, now listen, here's my thing. You know, I read the stats. His stats are impressive. Probably the most impressive thing about London Fletcher is the fact that he doesn't – I mean, one game, I'm not even going to count that. I'm going to go ahead and say the fact that he's never missed a game in his NFL career and he plays such a violent position where there's, you know, 20 car crashes, you know, every game that he's involved in. He's definitely accumulated some great numbers. He's a Super Bowl champion. But I'm kind of, you know, leaning towards what you guys were saying, like, I think London Fletcher is a very, very, very good player, but here at the War Room, we kind of reserved our Hall of Fame, which every Hall of Fame should do for real, for the cream of the crop, the very best of the best. And I don't want any Redskins fans to think that you know, we're hating because we're saying that London Fletcher shouldn't get into the Hall of Fame, because we all acknowledge that he was a very good player. But, yeah, I'm going to have to give him an FOH. You know, it's kind of difficult for me, but, you know, when I look at the criteria that Jimmy always lays out, you know, I listen to some of the stuff that you said, Austin, and I just think back over his career of what I thought of London Fletcher throughout the past 18 years. I can't put him in the Hall of Fame. But, you know, he was a very good player, because this year – he needs to go ahead and hang it up. Anybody else chiming in on social media? Because it seems like it's unanimous FOH right now.
Nobody. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Facebook. Nobody said he should get in. Mont just brought up another point, too, that he said it's like the perfect attendance award they use in grade school. You showed up. So that's your thing.
Yeah.
And also,
that's an award that I've already – alerted my wife to the fact that my son will never be winning, because there's nothing like Disney in September and October when there's not a lot of lines. So every time we go, he's going to have to miss school. So they're going to have to live with that.
Yo, another thing is this, though, right? Let me see. I'm looking at all the messages we got on, like, Twitter and everything.
Right.
Perfect attendance award is one. Oh, yeah, by the way, Dad, they said you put the hex on him saying he never missed a game, too.
He about to get hurt. Well, he played the Eagles this week.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if he gets hurt this week against the Eagles, I might not be happy, because somebody better might come in. No diss to him, but in year 18, he's lost several steps this season.
Yeah, on Twitter.
Yeah,
they said
and he never had a lot of steps to lose, because speed wasn't his thing. His thing is being smarter than everybody on the field. Like, he's known as a high IQ player. I don't want to disrespect him as much as I love disrespecting the Redskins and just, you know, taking shots at them. He is a very, very good player. I won't say great, but he's a very, very good player that did great things for DC's defense and anchoring that. I mean, he's as solid as they come at the position. But just, you know, our criteria, and I'll say that we adopt a similar criteria to Jimmy. Our criteria for making the Hall of Fame, he's, like, not even close. And I understand why you picked him, though, because if you look at his numbers and numbers alone, you're like, damn, wow, because they add up to, like, tons of other guys that you say, okay, accumulated a lot of stats, but he just
got that down. Right? We got we got a comment on Twitter that says when they won the Super Bowl, he wasn't even the focal point of this team. One thing I do want
like,
to say, one thing I do
like
want to
Ray
say,
Lewis,
yo,
they won the Super Bowl because of Ray Lewis the first time.
Well, he was MVP. No, though, here's the crazy part, yo. It's all negative statements coming from Twitter, from Facebook, from Google Plus. Everybody pooping on London Fletcher. We got one person compared him to AC Green. B also compared him to Vinny Testaverde. Yo.
Yo, Vinny got numbers though.
Yo, man, listen, man, Vinny ain't going to the Hall. Yo, in the words of my man Fife Dog, man, your style is incomplete, like Vinny Testaverde. So from that, he's not, you know.
Fife
killed Dog
him.
Killed him right there.
Fife killed his whole career.
Fife killed him. Anyway. And also, they say just because he's closer to the Hall of Fame than Trotter doesn't make him the Hall of Famer.
Oh,
man,
yo, mine says I have a 4-year-old female cousin named London. She's adorable. Is this a linebacker's name? No. All right, so he's getting killed all over the place, man. So Franklin Oscar Hatchett to London Fletcher, man. All
right, FOH to London Fletcher. Sorry, sir. We respect you. We think that you're very good, but you will not be getting into this Hall of Fame. So, you know, good luck with the Pro Football Hall of Fame because, you know, they seem to let everybody in these days. All right, so let's jump into some hot topics real quick. Jimmy, let everybody know who hot topics are brought to them by.
You already know. Hot topics are brought to you by Audible. That's right. This is my favorite sponsor. Shout out to them. If your schedule is too hectic to read as much as you want, try audiobooks and kick back and let someone else do the reading for you. Go to audibletrial.com/warroomsports. You can get a free book just by going to that link. And by the way, if you are a sports fan, and I know you're a sports fan because you're listening to this either live or on the podcast, there's like two great sports books out. We got Mike Tyson's biography as well as Dr. J. And, yo, all I can tell you about Mike Tyson's biography is TMI. Mike is talking about, yo, Mike's talking about snorting coke, knocking people out in the street, people he stuck up, people he pickpocketed, women he fornicated with.
I started my first line at 11.
Yo, Mike's 11. Biography is off the chain. And you can get that free, by the way, audibletrial.com/warroomsports. Visit that because guess what? That's what I'm reading now. I'm reading Mike Tyson. I ain't getting the doc yet. All doc talk about is knocking down chicks because they had braces on. So, but at any rate, man. That's our sponsor for the hot topic.
Are you talking out of turn?
No, I think we're all talking together.
I normally don't do interview with women unless I fornicate with them. So you shouldn't talk anymore. Unless you want to, you know. I'm 36 years old.
This is what Mike talks about. Mike talks about eating people's children. Listen, man.
I'm the most brutal, the most vicious, and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lynx is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm from Nairclaw. There's no one that can match me. My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable. And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
Yo, Jimmy, seriously, I say the same thing every time we play those sound bites, man. First, I'm so impressed with the fact that he used those vocabulary words in the correct manner. Second, how do you praise God after you talk about eating somebody's kid?
But this, yo, this is why the book is so great, yo, because, yo, Mike is like half crazy, half genius, yo, and he's like, he bears his soul. He's like, yo, it's amazing.
Yo.
It's the most entertaining book
yo,
I've read all year by
quotes,
far.
When those quotes came out long time ago, I'm just laughing, thinking Mike Tyson is just tripping and he's just using big words. I go look every word up, and he used them in the correct context. I'm so impressed by that, yeah.
If you look at Mike Tyson's use of big words, they're usually used in the right context. He usually uses them in the right way.
Except for fading into oblivion. You talking about
oblivion?
He called it Bolivian.
Bolivian.
Fade
to Bolivian.
Mike Tyson will have like a paragraph where he's like quoting like Henry VIII, and then the next paragraph he's talking about how he put coke on a chick's rear end, and like it's just out of control. But it's typical Mike Tyson, and so it's like very entertaining, man. That's all I can say, man. Shout out to Audible. Where do you put the audiobook?
The thing that makes me happy, yo, for his generations to come is he's much like Caesar, I mean Mike Vick, who fell from grace and came back with another $100 million contract. Mike Tyson is making a lot of money now.
Yeah, he blew $300 million. The funny thing is we just spent 4 minutes on Mike Tyson, and
this is not even about
Jimmy
Mike
only
Tyson
mentioned him because of the sponsor who was sponsoring this segment.
My bad. He's my favorite boxer. My bad.
Yo, but I'm telling y'all though, it's the most entertaining book. And by the way, you can get Audible whether you have an iPad, iPhone, Android, BlackBerry. Audible is available on every platform, so go get it. audibletrial.com/wolvensports. Yo, and get the Mike Tyson book, yo.
No doubt, no doubt. All right, look, man, Cy Young winners for this MLB season have been named. So congrats to Detroit's Max Scherzer for winning the AL Cy Young, and to the Dodgers' Clayton Kershaw for winning the National League Cy Young. If you watch baseball this year, I'm just thinking, who else could they have given these awards to?
Nobody.
The funny thing is, you know, Justin Verlander was widely known as the best pitcher in baseball, and somebody on his team had a good enough year to get the Cy Young. So, you know, congratulations to Scherzer and
Shout out
Kershaw. The AL MVP has been named, and it's a back-to-back winner, Miguel Cabrera. So they're keeping all the awards in Detroit so far. They haven't named the NL MVP. It'll probably
Except
come
the
out
one that matters.
It'll probably come out in the next few minutes, actually. But a lot of people think that it might end up being I'm drawing a blank. Boy from the Pirates. McCutcheon.
Yeah, him. Yeah. The soldier dude.
Oh, that boy.
Yeah, so that's where I think it probably should be. You know, McCutcheon had a very good season, leading the Pirates to their first playoff appearance in 22 years. So that announcement should come down in the next few minutes. So when it breaks, you know, whatever we're talking about, I'll just break in and congratulate them.
About
but what about
coming out?
About who?
He saw these awards coming out so late. That's what I want to know.
Yeah, it's like baseball's last attempt of the year to remain relevant. We want people to talk about us, so we'll wait till after the season. We'll give it a few weeks after the World Series, and then we'll name our awards. I don't know. It's tradition. You know, baseball is very traditional. But what do you guys think about Miggy winning his second? I mean, remember, 2-3 years ago, we were on here talking about him being an alcoholic and doing crazy stuff off the field. And he's come back with two straight MVPs. Like, he's turned his life around. As far as we can see, he definitely turned his baseball career, you know, back into the right direction with all the potential that he had. Shout out to that brother, man.
Man, he stays sober. You know, he's always been capable of, you know, being a great player. But he just has some substance abuse issues, yo. Shout out to my people who have substance abuse issues, yo. Life's not over.
All right, you know, we've been talking a lot about CTE, concussions in football. We've been talking a lot about that recently. Just wanted to bring up this story briefly. A statistic came out yesterday that Pop Warner Football, and everybody knows that's the largest football organization in America for kids, their participation is down 9.5% from 2010 to 2012. And, you know, as many kids that play in Pop Warner, 9.5% represents about, you know, 23,000 to 25,000 kids. Do you guys think that this is a direct correlation to all the studies and concussions and all the issues going on?
Absolutely.
I listen, man, if you go back and listen to the shows, because I go back and listen to us all the time because I think that we're nice. I've been saying this since we started. Yo, I don't know what's going to happen to football long term, but you're going to start to see this, and this is why the NFL is trying to make their game global so they can ruin the lives of children in other countries as opposed to just doing it here in America.
They got
to
hurry up before everybody quit.
They got to hurry up. You know, because listen, man, there's poor people all across the world. There's people poor. Somebody's going to want to go out there and risk their lives, you know, to make a nice living.
I totally think there's a correlation. And I can even use folks that are close to me. There are folks that have sons that are between the ages of, we'll say, 4 and 9 years of age, where I know for a fact 10 years ago, had their children been this age, they would have been in Pop Warner. Now, the husbands or dads or fathers in those situations are kind of on the fence, but the wives and mothers are like, don't you go put my baby out there. And so it's a fight that the dad, you know, typically, you know, Pop going to stand up and lay down the law, but it's like you actually have to think about the effects.
Yo, but Austin, the funny thing is, you know, it has been probably in most cases the mothers, but I think with a lot of the information that's come out, like in the past 6 months, I think fathers are joining in that fray. Like, it's not worth it.
Listen,
you
know,
unless
well,
you come from that background where you're thinking this might be his only shot, so he nice, so I got to groom him.
Let me ask you guys a question.
Oh, so you're saying unless his children in Florida or Texas.
Oh, well, Florida and Texas are two different. Like, they're culturally just different. But let me ask you guys a question. I do this all the time, and I see your actual responses change over time. Now, I'm going to ask you again.
Jimmy asks this every time.
Young son. And I do, because if you listen over time, you'll see at first it's like, oh, my son's going to play. Then it's like, I don't know. Well, let me ask you guys now. Would you let your son play, Dev? And B. Austin, you have a young son as well. Would you let him play?
That, yo, why Jimmy got to put us on the spot? You saw how I used
yo,
the
because again, I listen to all of our old shows. And if you listen to me, I ask you guys every time. And you can see the progression of your answer changed.
I would probably have to say probably not. Like, I don't wanna take away anything that he would really want to do.
Right.
So, you know, if he really wanted to do it, then we would have to, you know, we would have to have that discussion and see what's going on. But so far, I mean, and my son's only two, so far he seems to have taken more of a liking to basketball than football so far anyway, even though he does like both of them. But, you know, he gets a little more hype when the basketball commercial comes on screaming, it's basketball time. So I...
Oh, is that what you... Is that what you're pushing him to some conscious...
But, and I think Jimmy, that might be the situation. I mean, we, you know, I carry the ball and he let him tackle me and all that kind of stuff. But his room does have a full court in it. So I think, you know, he sees that a little more close up. So I think I will be nudging them towards that, you know, and I want them to play stuff like soccer and stuff like that too. But, you know, I think I'll be
all
nudging them towards basketball.
Well,
but we'll have to have a conversation if he really wants to play football, but I don't think so.
Be awesome. You got a couple more seconds. I'm going to give you some comments in our chat room. Montre,
he
his
and,
son has been
and
active.
He didn't want me to get away with getting off the hook.
Oh, not at all. He said that his son, Montre, his son has been asking for 5 months, but he says that he has to wait till he's a little bit older. He can't see him playing that sick. Kev said he let his son play running back, but he's switching to full-time basketball. And Mott also said he's about to push his son towards tennis.
I want my son to play a lot of stuff, but football might not be one of them, yo.
I want my son to get into golf. A lot of scholarships out there for golf that go unused.
Austin is going way around the question. Come on, we don't have that much time.
I know, be Austin. Would you let your son play? You have a young son. Would you let him play football? Because he's getting to an age soon where he's going to want, you know, he may want to play. What are you doing?
Yeah, he's there. He's basically there.
Getting to an age, that little dude runs around Dev's living room and runs into that big couch with the football.
Trucks my couch like dog.
he already wants to play. I am going to say that I will wait until he is 11 or 12,
awesome.
Which means that he's far behind in the curve to really be good. And I'm gonna ask him that at 12. Do you wanna? You know, you've been playing basketball since you were three. You know, at 12, you wanna pick up the gridiron, brother? I mean, because his mother is staunchly against
it. He's totally against
it. But I can't say no. I just can't flat out say no. You cannot do this. But I can wait. I can prolong it.
I don't think it's a fight that I'm going to take up. Put it that way, too. It's a fight that I'm not going to take up if my wife is adamant about not letting it happen.
You
got to
pick your fight.
Yeah, the conversation will happen just because he wants to play. But I'm not going to fight that battle. Like, I can blame you. Like your mom don't want you to play.
If my wife said no, he can't play basketball, then I'm saying, all right, here's the divorce papers. Jamie's coming with me, and you take our daughter, and we, you know. But football, you can't. I'm not going to fight that battle either. Here's the funny thing, man.
And we can move on from this. We did a show. I got to figure out what number show it was, but it was in 2010 when I asked you guys this question. Y'all was like, "Yeah, I'm gonna let him play." You know, it's part of growing up playing football. Now everybody, Austin got
much research going on
out of it. Yeah, so everything's changed, man. So that's what's going on, Debra.
All right, so before we get to Fred Perdue of Heavy in the Games to talk a little college football, speaking of football, real quick, you know, I want to get you guys' initial thoughts on the three college freshman phenoms who were on the national stage on display the other night, and that's Julius Randle of Kentucky, Jabari Parker of Duke, and Andrew Wiggins of Kansas. What did you guys think of, you know, basically the first time we've seen these guys on a huge stage? What did you guys think of these other three freshmen?
I think the future NBA players. I mean, they all three are impressive just in terms of their physical attributes and their game. Yo, Julius Randle was nice because, put it like this, I knew more about Jabari Parker and Andrew Wiggins coming into it, but I, you know, really got to watch Randle play, and he's right there with them. Some people say he's not as – no, he's right there with these guys. I was very impressed, and it's making me excited about college basketball this season.
Randle has footwork. He's a little raw. You know, it's not polished, but for what we see of big men in today's game – he's got footwork for a dude at that level. Like, he's got back-to-the-basket game, which excites me. Jabari Parker is essentially, for me, as close to a finished product as you're going to get in college. Like, he already can score what I believe would be 20 to 22 in the NBA. He reminds me a little of Carmelo Anthony in that he can do everything on the offensive side of the ball, of the court. My question is, defensively, where do you put him? He's too small to play four, and he's a little slow to play the three. So he's kind of a tweener in that, and I think that's where he's going to get into foul trouble at the next level until he kind of figures out the game mentally. Wiggins is scary because he don't even know what he's doing, and he's just.
I don't even think
Wiggins knows that he's the difference between playing squash and basketball. He's just that.
For that reason, right there, even though, you know, on this first go-around, Jabari Parker seemed to show that he's the more polished of the two, you know,
right.
The more game-ready, I think Wiggins will still be the number one pick because, you know, he's kind of a freakish athlete, and his upside is so crazy. He's one of those guys, like you just said, once he learns how to play basketball, it could get scary. So I think he still may end up being the first, even if Jabari keeps, you know.
He was executing moves. I know he didn't know what he was doing. He was just saying, I just seen him do it, and I could do it too, so I did it, and it worked.
We're all in agreement with that. But the funny thing is, we kind of said the same thing about Dwight years ago, like, yo, he doesn't even know what he's doing. When he figures out how to play basketball, problem is he still don't know what he's doing. So he's a coward,
and I don't want to put the cowardice title on Wiggins. I mean, I don't know.
I'm a fall back because you just went there. I'm just saying, you never know.
You knew he was going to go there as soon as you brought him up. So.
can't penalize Wiggins for being young and dumb. He's going to grow into it. Dwight is Dwight.
Yeah. This is, as a marketing major, it'd be hard to market the name Wiggins.
The thing is, it's great for this year while he's in college. Once he gets into the league, then it's like, you know, what's his slogan going to be? Right now, you got a bunch of teams rigging for Wiggins and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, he got a little marketing machine behind him now, but. What's going to happen when he gets in the league?
Wiggins to go to the Raptors. Wiggins is going to the Raptors next year. The whole thing.
Oh, man, not another DeMar DeRozan.
If that happens,
already in.
Yeah, if that happens, then
You know the fix is in.
Yeah, it's like if that happens, they might as well just stop with the lottery. Just stop it, because there have been way too many coincidences. Of course, the first ever lottery, you know, Patrick Ewing goes to New York. You know, the league office is in New York. This is the first ever lottery. The Knicks weren't that good. You know, it's hard on the league when the team right down the street from the league office is trash, so they get Patrick Ewing. Cleveland gets LeBron James. Then after LeBron leaves, a year later, they get the pick again so they can replenish after losing LeBron James. Like, it's way too much that goes on. Like,
yeah, but, yo, all I'm saying is this, Wiggins. Yo, Wiggins, when you come to the league, man, don't let them talk to you into dressing up like a woman, because you know they're going to try the whole wig thing. Don't let them do
remember,
it.
Remember Yao Ming said that he wanted to play in a city that had a great Asian population?
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, Houston gets the number one pick. Come on, man. Everything is just too coincidental. Like, yeah. So, all right, so let's go. We got our college expert, Fred Perdue, waiting on the line to talk about his college games and stories of the week. So we're going to go right to him. Fred Perdue of Heavy in the Games. Fred, you there?
Heavy in the Games.
What's going on, fellas? How y'all doing?
What's up, brother?
What's up, brother?
Good, man. What's going on in the realm of college football? I want to ask you one thing before you give us, you know, your games and stories of the week. Evan Spencer, Ohio State University wide receiver, when asked about Florida State and Alabama, he said, "I think we'd wipe the field with both of them." Do you think that comment has any legitimacy to it whatsoever, or is that just somebody just, you know, going hard for his team?
Evan Spencer has less. He has about less than 250 yards receiving. Why are we talking about Evan Spencer?
Damn.
So his mouth is bigger than his game, is what you're saying.
He has no game. You have no game. If you're in a spread
offense, you'll be offense too much, man.
You have less than 250 yards in a powerhouse offense like Ohio State, you have no room to talk.
But my thing is this, though, Fred.
In a conference like the Big Ten.
What's he supposed to say when
asked the
question?
You're supposed to have a lot more than that.
But what is he supposed to say when asked the question? No, they'll beat us.
Yeah. Nah, he could have said, you know, we can play with them dudes. We can beat them.
No,
he had to say they wiped the field with them.
They're supposed to.
Especially if you garbage.
Florida State and Alabama are a very good team. Blah, blah, blah. Coach speak. Next question.
No, man, yeah, come on, man.
I would have definitely found a way to say we're going to beat them. I might not have said we're going to wipe the field with them. And then that's saying we're going to dominate them. But I'm definitely not going to punk out.
If it came down to it, do you really want to watch Notre Dame Alabama Part 2 and just replace Notre Dame with Ohio State? Would you really want to watch that?
We
that's
already
going to happen
well,
either
that's
way.
What you want to get with Florida State?
No.
That's what happened when Florida State played Miami.
Whoa. Whoa,
that was like
I'm not
contextually.
Saying that. I'm not saying that. What I'm telling you is that if Florida State plays Alabama, I'm giving out points, yo. Bet whatever. Florida State's not beating Alabama. It's not going to be close.
I think it would be close, but no. I think it would be a close game. It would be about a 10-point game. But at the same time, you give Nick Saban 4 weeks to prepare, he will make your quarterback look like he is still playing Pop Warner football.
Yeah.
Listen,
I mean,
quarterback
4 weeks,
nobody
Nick Saban probably can beat the Jaguars.
my point is this, though. If you give Nick Saban 4 weeks, your Florida State doesn't come within 20. I'm just being honest, yo. We'll talk about this one if it happens, man. But give us a couple of games of the week. I mean, we're running behind, but we got to get some games of the week that we have to pay attention to, man. What's going on?
Well, I have a few games of the week. And before I get into that, I heard you guys talking about the Jameis Winston thing, and that's going to be very huge going into the next couple of weeks because what most don't know is if he actually gets charged, he will not be able to play in a game. And if it comes down to an ACC title game or a national title game, that team is out of luck because their backup quarterback, Jacob Coker, he ended up injuring his knee, and he will be out for the rest of the season, and he won't be back until the spring after injuring his knee against Wake Forest. So I know Florida State fans, hope and pray. hope and pray, but I'm not on your side. I have no sympathy for you.
Yeah, Charlie Ward
ain't got no more eligibility?
No.
They're going to push that Charlie Ward so far, man. But anyway, man, what's good, though? What games you got for us this week, man?
Well, I have for you guys, I have Stanford-USC. Stanford looks pretty good right now. I picked Stanford to beat Oregon going forward. I think Stanford is the other team that has a legitimate shot at contending with Alabama, not beating Alabama because of their physicality.
Their quarterback is nice.
Kevin Hogan, and I've been saying it since last year, Kevin Hogan is Andrew Luck light. He does everything you want. He's big enough. He's strong enough. He has good enough mobility. He needs to tighten up that release a little bit. But for this game, I'm calling the upset. USC is at home. They haven't they've only lost one game. They lost by a couple field goals to Notre Dame since firing Lane Kiffin. This team has looked very, very good. And they're only allowing 13 points per game. This defense is very good under Clancy Pendergrass. Former Arizona Cardinals defensive coordinator from when they went to the Super Bowl. And we all know that defense was pretty solid. So this guy has brought in a new defense. They're running a hybrid 3-4. They call it the 5-2. But they have a lot of speed on the field. The only question I have about USC right now is can they throw the football? We know USC is going to play good defense, but you can't rely on special teams and defense solely against a team like Stanford. And Stanford, they haven't really had to throw the ball either. They've been running the ball down teams' throats. Kevin Hogan has only thrown the ball 31 times in the last 2 weeks. That is just a very good running game. They just line up in power eye and say, can you stop us? This between Stanford, Florida State, and Alabama, they're the closest things you're going to see to an NFL team right now in college football. And I also have Miami going up against Duke this game. And it's not specifically because of Miami, but it's the storyline behind it. Miami right now, before losing to Florida State and Virginia Tech back-to-back, they were in complete control of the ACC Coastal Division. But now Duke is in contention right now as well as Virginia Tech. They are in the driver's seat due to a head-to-head deal. Duke has really come around since last year, making a bowl game for the first time, now having another winning season. This is their second back-to-back winning season. And really this game, if they can win this game, I don't think they'll win it, but their offense is just very consistent. They have a very good defense. And Coach Al Golden, he spoke a lot about how this team has really got to really stay focused and keep the goals that they have in front of them intact. Maybe they might not win an ACC title, but a bowl game is ahead for them after not being able to go to a bowl game. And really that's one – this senior class, Stephen Morris and the rest of those guys, they haven't been to a bowl game in a while. And really and truly that is the goal. So beating Duke is one step closer to possibly going to a BCS bowl game if they can get a little help from a Virginia Tech team that we don't know what you'll get week to week. Duke will present a very good challenge, and I know that sounds crazy to say, but this game will come down to a 33-31 type of game. We'll just have to see who comes up at the end. Miami tends to play a little backwards. Miami tends to like to throw the ball early.
Coach Cutcliffe helping them out?
Coach Cutcliffe, David Cutcliffe, he was the head coach at Ole Miss at the time when Eli Manning was in college, and he was Peyton Manning's offensive coordinator and quarterback coach at Tennessee. This guy he churns out quarterbacks. Every time he gets one, he just churns them out. And that is the difference. Right now for the Atlanta Falcons, their backup quarterback in Sean Renfrey was one of the leading quarterbacks in the country. He was an Elite 11 finalist coming out of high school. He chose to go to Duke, of all places. Mainly it's for the educational purposes, but also when you get a guy,
he didn't want to play pro ball. What other games you got for us?
We also and last but not least, I have, and it's a bit odd, but I have Oklahoma State going up against Texas. Oklahoma State comes in at 12. Texas comes in at 24. Texas hasn't lost since going up against Oklahoma, where they completely destroyed Oklahoma. Their running game is looking pretty good. They have three solid backs, now two. Colt McCoy's little brother, actually, Case McCoy, is at the helm after David Ash went down. And this team, defensively, they've gotten it together. They've only allowed two sacks. This offensive line is very, very experienced. They've only allowed two sacks in the last 4 weeks. Mack Brown is playing for his job at this point after firing defensive coordinator Manny Diaz, a Florida State guy. You know those Florida State guys don't play defense, but you gotta
But may I ask you a question? With the recent success that Texas has been having, do you think Mack Brown has done enough to save his job, or do he still have to finish out strong?
This team has to finish out strong. Mack Brown, nothing is promised with Texas. Those fans are so used to winning, and after 8 years of Vince Young and Colt McCoy, two national titles, one win, one loss, it's hard to go from that to lose. And for Texas, they have to win, especially after having mediocre season back-to-back. Nick Saban talking about he may want the job and getting a new AD. The Lost Dogs, their former AD, he's now
gone. But how much would they have to pay Nick Saban to get him to go to Texas?
This is how I feel about Nick Saban. And realistically, I don't think he'll leave. But with Texas will hand him a blank check, tell him to sign how much he wants. The average NFL coach, the highest paid NFL coaches make about $7 million. Nick Saban makes about $5.8 million. So when you look at, if you can get him in that $6 million range, and if they just really want to be extravagant, just throw a nice little double-digit number out there like 10 or 11, and you can get Nick Saban. But honestly, I think Nick Saban is not going to leave. Why leave? You have the number one recruiting class every single year. You're winning in the toughest conference in the country, in the SEC. You have nothing to prove. You're on the verge of winning 3 out of 4 national titles.
I mean, because you know what? All those recruits are going to follow him wherever he goes anyway. So if Nick Saban decides to pick up Texas for a big chunk of change, they're going to follow him. But I wouldn't leave either. I'm just saying.
And also,
anyway, man.
with Nick Saban, he just landed the number one overall recruit in the country, Deshaun Hand, 6'4", 264 pounds. This guy's I don't see him being a super impact freshman his first year. But he could either go one of two ways. He could be a defensive tackle in their what they call a 5 technique, their nose tackle, or they could easily drop him in at outside linebacker in a sense of in a way you used to see a Dante Hightower play off the edge at Alabama as a pass rusher as well as a run.
So he was number one in the nation.
Yes, he is.
Now we got to find a way to get him. We got to find a way to get Nick Saban at Grambling so he can save the whole athletic program there.
let's get Nick Saban at Howard, man. You want to impress me? Go to HBCU and win. That's what you want to do. If you want to prove something, Nick Saban, go to HBCU.
I'm telling you, man. I'm voting for you for coach, man. We need a coach at HBCU. Man. Come on.
Need Austin at a HBCU.
Yes.
Yo, man.
We already
anyway,
saw Beyonce.
Thank you for the games this week, man. We look forward to talking to you next week to see if your upset special came true. You know, we'll see what happens, man. But, Fred, thanks as always, man. Everybody check out Fred. Give him your Twitter handle, Fred.
All right, guys. You can reach me at FProduceSports or at Heavy in the Games, HEAVYINDAGAMES. Always on the lookout for college football. I'll be tweeting out later on tonight. Georgia Tech and Clemson, big-time ACC game. It's a Thursday night game. Anything can happen.
Absolutely, man. Fred, thanks as always, man. We'll look forward to hearing from you, all right?
All right, guys. Thanks.
Fred, leave the basketball alone.
Anyway, man.
All right.
Shout out to Fred down here in Florida for checking in with us.
All right. Y'all can check him out at the handles he just gave you, and you can check us out at worldroomsports.com. To call in and speak to us about any of today's topics, dial the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you already listen from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. Jimmy, let's talk some.
Yeah,
B.
Basketball. It's time to talk some hoops, man. Let's slander some of these basketball players, man. NBA is brought to you by Fanatics for the best in your favorite team's merchandise. Just go to warriorsports.com, click on the Fanatics logo, and get your gear up, yo. That's all I'm going to say about that. Shop for Fanatics. Anyway. Curtis, bro, your bars was weak. Anyway, yo, NBA players of the week this week.
Curtis bars
were
blow.
Paul George and Markieff Morris. That's right, Markieff Morris. That is not
Markieff Morris. Incorrect. Okay.
Are you okay, Philly in the building?
Philly represent.
PSP, right. Yeah, give us a sense, man.
Paul George, of course, since they're still undefeated, he led the Indiana Pacers to a 4-0 record. He averaged 24.8 points per game, 7.5 rebounds, 3.8 assists, 1.75 steals. He had a double-double the other night against the Pistons, 31-10. They beat the Pistons by 8. Markieff Morris, you know, Paul George is a name you're going to expect, you know, this season, but Markieff Morris, he helped the Phoenix Suns to a 3-1 week. They beat the Nuggets and the Pelicans, so, you know, I'm not singing their praises. But he was, like, seventh in the Western Conference in scoring at 22.8 a game, 8 rebounds, 2 steals, and he led the league in field goal percentages. 69. I'm going to go ahead and give him – I'm going to round him up 70% field goal percentage during the week. shout out to Markieff Morris. Like I said, that's a surprise. But, I mean, the first 2 weeks you've had a surprise. You had Michael Carter Williams week 1. Now you got Markieff Morris. Week 2.
Markieff
connection.
I was watching Indiana play the other day, yo. And I wish I could go back and change my pick for the Eastern Conference based on one thing, man. They made a move on a low that I wasn't thinking about when I gave my picks for the season, yo. And that is one Luis Scola, yo.
Scola, man.
Luis Scola is amazing, yo. With that being said, yo, I just want to give them credit because they built that entire organization from within. If you look at that team, I mean, they drafted Hibbert. They drafted George. Here's the thing. You won't get an all-star to sign in Indiana. Doesn't matter how good they are. Nobody wants to sign with Indiana. They signed David West coming off of an injury. So, you know, they took a chance on David West. I mean, and his team is – and Larry Bird is back. I mean, the team is solid, man, from top to bottom, yo.
Right.
It's crazy.
Who's better, Luis Scola or David West?
Luis Scola. David West is better on 2K. Luis Scola is nice, though, man. Nice.
David West is tougher, though. He gonna do the tougher stuff. Luis is kind of finesse with it. His skill set is better. I think, you know, I think I'd take David West. But to have Luis Scola coming off your bench, it's crazy.
It is crazy because I was watching the game last night with the Clippers. And the Clippers roster from, like, 1 to 12 might be the best in the league. But the problem is they have so many players who are just like Ralph Tresvant that it doesn't even matter. But when you look at their bench, I mean, you look at Indiana and the Clippers, they probably have the two best teams 1 through 12 in the entire league.
Yeah, your team is definitely soft if your goon, your toughest player, is a light-skinned dude with beautiful hair.
Has a conk.
So.
Your toughest player has a conk.
Your light-skinned dude with beautiful hair, man.
A five heartbeat hair dude. Like, you can't, like, yo.
Yo, and I give Matt Barnes some props.
My fault.
Because Matt Barnes is a pseudo-tough guy, but he don't do that like when dark-skinned Jermaine is around.
Nobody do that when Dark and Jermaine around.
Yeah,
but
nobody does
that
when Jermaine
show me
those
your best combination.
That's Tony out. Yo, but no, Pistons though, right? Those two teams probably the best teams from 1 to 12. I just wanted to make that statement. We'll get back into the teams in a minute, but let's talk about this. MJ's flu game shoes to be auctioned by former Jazz ball boy. So, first off, I just want to say on the record that the flu game was set up by Gatorade and Nike. It really didn't happen. Like, Nike
another stage game like Kurt Schilling's Bloody Sock.
Yeah, with Stage. Michael Jordan.
You know what?
Fell out.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I'm a Michael Jordan fan to the fullest, but I think there's merit in that. I think that I never really believed that was legitimate. Like, I mean, because it was one of those things. It's like anybody else. Like, I could twist my ankle playing the game, and I can oversell it to my teammates in the pickup game. As soon as the ball hit my hands, then I'm healthy again. So it's like,
yeah,
it was that kind of thing. Like, he's killing these dudes. Yeah, like 38. Like, no, but the story behind this, the ball boy, of course, he's had these shoes for 15 years, and the way he got them earlier in the season that year, no, like Michael Jordan sent dude running through the halls of their arena, the Delta Center, to get him his pregame applesauce. Michael Jordan used to eat applesauce before the game. So when they came back later on for the NBA Finals, Shorty was on the ball. He had the applesauce waiting for him when he got in the locker room. So, you know, Mike, you know, he thought he was a good little dude for that. So after the game, he gave him his shoes and he signed them. So he's had them sitting around for 15 years. He probably ran into some money problems. You know, I got to sell these. But, yeah, he's going to sell them in auction, and the opening bid is going to be $5,000.
How much
do you guys think they're going to get for these shoes?
Six figures. But here's the thing, man. First off, here's the thing, man. In the words of Whitney Houston, man, people need someone to look up to, right? So after Mike had this phony flu game, you know that there were several other players watching basketball who tried to reenact the flu game or act like they were sick or injured. You had Paul Pierce coming out in a wheelchair, like trying to take it up a step further.
Kobe had several flu games.
Kobe had a couple of them. But here's my biggest point. How many cats do you think now will start eating applesauce before the game now that the story came out?
Now that the story's out. The applesauce.
Yo, it's
going to
be like a run on applesauce and everything.
I'm about to get Mott stock. Michael Jordan ate applesauce for the game. Yo, somebody give me the NASDAQ code for Mott.
Yeah, I'm telling you, yo, it's going to be a run on applesauce in every NBA city, man, because now, you know, people need someone to look up to, man. That's just wrong. Anyway, but in terms of what the shoes will go for,
The funniest fake injury was when Dwayne Wade, his shoulder came out of the socket, and they got him a wheelchair.
Yeah, why couldn't he walk when his shoulder was hurting?
His shoulder came out, man.
Put him in a wheelchair.
Paul Pierce like he got shot by a sniper, though.
Yo, Paul Pierce looked like he was dying in that chair, yeah.
Yo,
he came back
dead.
Out.
Yo,
he killed These dudes,
he did.
Sports is dramatic, man.
If you get a shoulder injury, how does that affect your feet?
This is true, man. Yo, this is true. Listen, man, you remind me of a bunch of divas anyway.
All of these dudes remind me of Mike Cassidy when we was playing them dudes summer league. Summer league.
Yeah, he got fouled
back in Philly back in the day. Yo, he got fouled.
I got fouled and ran out the arena though. He kept running. And ran out the arena.
Ran
so
out
we waiting
the
for the
door.
Game. Often, this is summer league, right? So this is an official game. He got fouled, ran out the door. The ref didn't even know what to do. We waited around for like 10 minutes. He come running back in. Like,
said I'm cool. I'm like, it's no rule. He ain't got to sit out a couple plays or something. This ain't like the NFL. Like, come on, man.
Everybody in the stands is like, yo, what just happened?
How do you run outside? Come back, say
yeah,
I'm
man.
Cool.
That's funny. I
remember
that. 5-10
minutes
anyways,
later.
Man,
yeah, that was crazy.
I say that the shoes will go for 6 digits. B. Austin, what's your guess on what the shoes will go for?
85.
You trying to like Price is Right me right now, Paul? Like, Dad, you
love
that. $1.
I bid $1.
$1.
Yo,
yeah,
I hate, by the way,
good,
I hate
man.
That, man. I think that's cowardly. Because I'm a big fan of the
Price
Is Right, man. I think that's cowardly, man. I think it's cowardly, man. You're basically saying, I'm not going to try. So I'm just going, you know, you guys are trying. I'm not going to try. I'm going to just bid a dollar until I get up on this stage. And it always works.
Some of the dumbest cats in the world on Price Is Right, yo. They'll have, like, dish detergent, maybe, like, $400. I'm like, yo.
Yo, you can tell some people just aren't independent. Yeah, like you've never been shopping in your life, have you?
Where you shop at, yo? Anyway.
No bag of Oreo cookies cost $16. Like, what are you doing?
FOH to Mike, yo. There's a story that I find interesting, right? Dirk passes Jerry West for 16th on the NBA scoring list.
Dirty
now, 85 points behind Reggie Miller. It's funny, as time goes on and the game changes and people are playing longer, taking more shots, yada, 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 you see these all-time legends getting passed by. Now, I'm not saying Dirk's a legend in his own right. You know, he's earned that at this point. But it's just crazy to see him pass Jerry West. The logo.
The legend, the logo.
Exactly.
They need to
the
change
logo.
The logo. The logo shouldn't be 16th or 17th in scoring in the first place. You need a higher stature
and
view the NBA logo.
You can't make it Mike, though. Mike getting paid off that. Mike is going
right, well, change the logo to the Skyhook, then. He's leading scorer.
I say you change the logo to the Big Pun John from his second album, the Yeah Baby album. Like, no, man.
You need to change to the Skyhook and make sure somehow the goggles are prominently featured in the logo.
Yo, they should change the look. No, man, I ain't gonna say that. I'm about to say something way out of pocket,
yeah,
man. I don't.
They're
the
Will.
Then.
You're about to talk
man.
About Will.
I wasn't gonna talk about Will. I was gonna talk about NBA and his pension for drugs as the league is coming up of existence. You know.
So you just say the logo
couple,
just be
a
couple, bags, couple lines in the middle of the floor.
A pipe.
A couple lines and needles. Yeah, man.
Couple of lines with a rolled up dollar bill sitting next to it.
Yo,
shout out to Michael Ray Robinson.
It's some teams I want to talk about, right?
Mm-hmm.
And one of those teams is the New York Knickerbockers. Wilson has moved J.R. Smith into the starting lineup, right? The
Uh-oh.
Knicks just suck all around.
Bad move.
They have injuries. And I want to also give J.R. Smith a shout out because he got his brother a job, yo. So, you know.
Yeah.
Nothing,
yo.
You know, he did it looked out for his brother. But anyway.
That's really controversial, too, because they're actually – like, they haven't picked up anybody to replace Tyson Chandler because they refused to cut somebody, and his brother doesn't bring anything to the table. So a lot of people
nepotism
think that it was a – yeah, they think it was a package deal because they're both under CAA. And, yo, it's crazy because people are getting upset.
Here's the thing, though.
He got other players dissing his brother.
Yo,
and he
Steven Jackson
is pissed. Brandon Jennings
but here's the thing, though. I think all those dudes are mad because they never thought about it, yo. Like, he actually went in his negotiations like, all right, I won't sign here. Somebody's going to take this deal to get my services.
How does a six-man have that much pull, though?
Because they want any services.
Honestly, here's how it is, man. Like, JR is probably the second most talented dude on that team. Earl, I don't call him JR. That dude is Earl. Earl is, he was able to hold him hostage.
All right, well, in his first stint as a starter, going back to the actual question Jim asked us, I mean, they won. It was Atlanta. But, I mean, they did win the game.
Yeah, like Atlanta ain't in America.
So, I don't know, though. You know, looking at it, you know, he has the talent to start. The only reason that he wasn't a starter on this team is because they needed a spark off the bench. When you're losing, do you really care about a spark off the bench? You may need a spark in the starting lineup. So I'm not – if you're going to shake it up, you know, if the Knicks would have said a few days earlier, like, we're thinking about shaking it up, but we don't know what to do, I think most people would have said, you know, try your hand at starting JR. But we also said it's a bad idea.
Bad move. There's only a couple of people in the world that will, and have shot more than JR. JR's answer for everything is shout out to Swag. There's only, yo, his answer to everything, yo, we're down 20. I need to shoot more. Yo, I can't defend this dude. I need to shoot more. Yo, we need a defensive stop. I need to shoot more. Yo, I need to block that cat's shot. Let me shoot more. Let me get a we need rebound. I'm going to shoot more. That'll give us more of an opportunity to rebound if I shoot more. Yes.
Yeah, he didn't go crazy last night. In 32 minutes, he only took 10 shots.
It was 12 one
point,
game, Dad.
12.7 rebounds.
Coming.
I mean, he might be turning over a new leaf, man. I don't know.
No.
Look, man.
My man is sending threats. My man is sending terroristic threats over Twitter to people, man. He ain't turning over no new leaves. I'm a fan. I thoroughly enjoy his antics, both on and off the court, but I have no vested interest in the Knicks. Like, if he played for the Sixers, I'd have been gave him a rumble, like, long ago. Like,
yeah, but
his antics.
Watching the Knicks play, the Knicks' biggest problem is they have no point guard. They need a point guard because the team is filled with players.
Frigioni looks like he's playing with a walker and a cane.
They have players that can score, but they can't create their own shots. Like, and they've struggled with this for a while. Like, Felton was balling the 1 year, and what do? They get rid of him, and he's never been the same since they got rid of him. You got Amari who can't get his own shot. Melo, who just can't really get his own shot. He shouldn't be getting his own shot anyway. You got Bagnani, as Avery Johnson called him on the TV show. Bagnani, he got...
Yo, he's another dude. All he wants to do is shoot. Yo, they got a
But he can't get his own shot. So they have a quality point guard that could turn that whole team around.
I forgot, because this came down while Fred was on. Andrew McCutchen is the NL MVP, so congrats to that cat. Now back to the Knickerbockers.
Yeah, they need somebody that can get them shots. They had a quality person that could get them shots, you know, a Rondo-type guy. That would probably change that entire complexion of that team because they have guys that can, like, shoot. They just can't get their own shot. So that's my opinion in watching the Knicks play. Listen, that's what's going on in hoops. We got about a half hour left, man. We have to talk about some pigskin because we don't know how much longer it's going to be in existence.
Pigskin, rest in peace to football. For real, though. All right, so we're going to talk a little bit of NFL. And NFL Rap is brought to you by Stitcher Smart Radio. You can now hear our show, The War Room, on Stitcher Smart Radio. Of course, you know Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows, ours, directly from your computer, iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry or Palm phones. But Jimmy's going to tell you real quick what you can do if you own a BlackBerry or Palm phone.
Yo, kill yourself.
All right. The latest episode is always available for you. No syncing needed. No memory or storage wasted. Downloading is easy. Click on the Stitcher logo on our website and listen, or you could just download to your mobile phone directly from that page. Before you do, enter the promo code, The War Room, all one word, and you can get, you know, you can get entered into a contest to win a cash prize, and we all know that everybody loves cash. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
Yo, Dev, real quick, though, right?
What up?
I was just thinking about something. LeBron is going to be a free agent, yo, so we might see Maverick Carter in the NBA next year.
Give me a spot, yo.
If J.R. Smith can get his brother signed, LeBron can get his whole hood signed, yo. We will see a bunch of cats.
I say we might see the whole starting five from the St. Mary Michael we went to. Yeah, we might see the whole 2002-2003 starting lineup
in the
league.
That's the scariest part. Like, what precedent does this set? Because, yo, people are mad because they didn't think of it. But imagine that in every sport, like. Because
what's the name did it last year? Drew Holiday's brother was on the Sixers with him. You know, they gave him – well, he was back and forth. Yeah, but, I mean, I don't think it got to the point of where the Knicks thing is now because people are really speculating that. Like, they refused to cut
contract.
Dude because he's the obvious dude. Yeah, he's the obvious dude that should be cut, you know, if they're looking to replace somebody else who got injured and they won't cut him. So – they had a little more of a deal than the
Yo,
the
not just that,
brothers.
They gave him a guaranteed contract. So even if they do cut him, yo, he's going to get paid.
They got to pay him,
yeah.
Yo, who negotiated for them, yo?
They can at least throw him down to the D-League, though, so they can have a spot on the active roster. They got to do something. But JR probably like, look, man, I need my brother with me when I travel. Like, he the only dude that
yo,
can play
well,
Xbox.
Get games with
Yeah. All right, so that's the latest on this whole Miami Dolphins situation. Actually, Richie Incognito is now filing a grievance against the Miami Dolphins because, of course, he's suspended indefinitely for conduct detrimental to a team, but he found a clause somewhere in the collective bargaining agreement where you're only supposed to be able to suspend a player 4 games plus one more game check. So basically four games and five game checks for conduct detrimental to the team. Now, he hasn't been out that long yet, but I think we all know that the Dolphins' plan wasn't to bring him back after four games. But now that he's filing his grievance, they might have to. Or, you know, let him loose or do whatever they're going to do. So that's the latest in the situation, but throughout the week, you know, since we only do this once a week, we know that the owner has come out, said some words. Richie Incognito last weekend did the interview with Jay Glazer, and he had some things that brought a new light to the situation. I think it's a good look on his part that he keeps all of his text messages because, you know, he has proof that the way he spoke to Martin wasn't anything new because Martin speaks to him the same way. You know, he thought they were friends and thought they could do that. But like we mentioned last night on Field Vision, it could have been a situation where Jonathan Martin was just trying to fit in. So he may have been being somebody other than himself, just trying to fit in, but eventually the culture got to him and he had to skate the team for whatever reasons. But there's a lot of stuff going on. What do you guys think about everything that's unfolding from this situation since we first started talking?
He looked in the mirror and he didn't know who he saw anymore.
So, yeah, the role. Yeah. I mean, because I have the same feelings as a lot of other people about Martin leaving and the way he's acting as a 6'7", 350-pound man, whatever he is. But at the same time, like I said to you guys before, I don't want to just totally villainize the victim or the so-called victim in this. I want to give him the benefit of the doubt, but my only problem right now with Jonathan Martin is he will not come out and speak. I mean, he's supposed to do something soon, but all we have to go on is one side of the story and then a little bit of speculation that's been going on by everybody else. I want to hear his side of the story. I want to hear a solid side of the story, you know, so we can, you know, see what really went down.
Hashtag free Richie Incognito.
I'm screaming.
Well, for me, I just want something else to happen so we can, like, just move away from this. This whole situation, it's like, B. Austin said it a couple times on Field Vision, on WarhamSportsTV.com, by the way, that it's so complex. There's so many layers to the story. There's so much going on that you really can't give any kind of definitive, like, even opinions because we don't have all the facts. Like Dev said, he's not speaking. Now, whether or not he should speak, you know, it depends upon what his legal team is telling him. He's trying to obviously get some dough. I think this whole thing was a conspiracy.
One opinion that I think is less opinion and more fact is that Martin is trying to get some money.
Oh, yeah, no doubt, no doubt.
I think he's looking at this as a come-up.
Listen, that's why he keeps getting his attorney to make statements instead of him making statements.
Listen, man, I think that he was trying to find a way to get out of playing football, and he found a way to get out of playing football. I think when he wakes up in the morning, he's like, my man is trying to get money.
I
so I'm
figure
not going
that your team can
him.
Affect my cream.
Yeah, how you figure that your team can affect my cream? You right, like
he's saying that to the Dolphins. How you figure that your team can affect my cream? Yo,
man. Yo. So he's at a point now where he's just trying to get money, man.
Richie Incognito is getting railroaded, in my opinion. And there's so many layers to this story. We've addressed it. We'll continue to address it, I believe. And so one of the angles that I'm going to take is there's a lot of issues that people are taking with the word nigger being used, which is an ugly, terrible word with a ton of history in our country. However, the flip side to that, and you gentlemen understand this as you are of African-American descent and background, that word is used amongst African-American people by some as a term of endearment, worst case, and in, if you can call it best case, kind of, you know, a casual colloquialism in this day and age, I'm quite sure in an NFL that's 70 to 80% African-American, the word is thrown around frequently on practice fields, on actual game day, and in the locker room. And so at some point, because Richie Incognito is universally recognized as a good teammate, no one has any real problems with him on the Dolphins, and plenty of African-American players are standing up for him, at some point he felt as though he was given license to use that word. So my question is, beyond Martin,
obviously
what
he was.
Black players, what black players were condoning and allowing him to use the word for him to feel comfortable? And the body language and the expressions that I hear from Richie is like, yo, I mean, I've never had any hate in my heart or dislike or disdain for black folks. I thought I was cool. I thought I had permission to use it. So
I was honorary.
Yo,
he was
let's,
an honorary
yeah, let's get their names, man. That's what we need. We need to figure out who allowed him to
do it. Yeah, I want to know, because they're part of the problem.
See, but I think with the lack of facts coming from the Jonathan Martin side, I think everybody has honed in on the fact that he used his word and are making this case about something that it's really not about.
That it's not.
I mean, even if this case is about bullying, you know what I'm saying, if that's going to be the key subject in this whole thing, the whole voicemail with him using the N-word is kind of a smokescreen. Because like you said, more so than him using it, like, who are these jabronis who allowed him to use it in the locker room in the first place? That,
yeah,
you know, those are the people that might have the biggest problem with.
Yeah, that's Richie. That's my homie Richie. He my nigga. Huh? What?
Yo, here's the thing, though, right? Because you know that John is not going to say nothing. He don't even care at this point. So all John going to do is, like, you know.
President's to represent
rock.
Me.
Say what?
President's to represent me.
Yo,
you know what that is. Yo, let's,
yo
let's
John Doe. John Doe. And that's what I'm going to call him. I'm going to call John Mark John Doe from now, because he's into the dough. He's making a move to get at least a couple M's out of this situation so he doesn't have to play football anymore.
Pretty much. Pretty much. Yo, but hold on. Let's get the homie on and see what he has to say, man. We got Naeem calling from Maryland.
Yo.
Naeem, what's good?
Hashtag Free Richie.
Free Richie. I'm laughing because one of my colleagues I work with, they told me earlier this week when that story first broke, both of his parents are lawyers, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Harvard.
From Harvard.
So he's going to get paid. I mean, what 6'3 grown man, 300-something pounds, can't handle this stuff? I've never seen that. I don't call that bullying.
Yeah, but you know what, Naeem, I said it a while ago. I said I think the whole thing was set up from the get-go. Like, my man was like, how can I make a couple million? I don't have to worry about having head damage later on like everybody else. No brain damage. And I'm going to get paid.
This bullying thing is overrated. I mean, they grew up during the era that I grew up in. I guess we got bullied every day.
Yo, Naeem, I don't know
what
that's
the definition,
is.
I know, right? Like,
I think bullying builds character. But go ahead, though, B.L.
Yo, if Martin was sweet for the bully like that, I wish I'd have ran into him in high school. I'd have had him doing all types. Never mind.
High school, ran into him when he started getting that NFL chicken. He didn't. Yo, you've been part of the story. But anyway, I think it was all a conspiracy anyway. Richie probably was in on it too. Somebody in our chat room last week said Richie was in on the conspiracy as well, because he probably about to get over on the Dolphins. He's gonna get a cut out of Martin's money. And they're going to laugh all the way.
And he filed this grievance. So.
Yeah, man.
Yo, if that's the case, yo, shout out to Richie. No free Richie. Get Richie.
Yeah, man. The conspiracy is in full-fledged, it's in effect right now, man. I'm just so tired of this story, though. Like, you know, I don't want to wish anything bad, but you know something's going to happen when this NFL player. Somebody's going to do something stupid, or some story's going to leak. And
Jimmy, this story is not going anywhere because it has two things, bullying, and the N-word. So it's not going anywhere.
Everyday themes in America.
You know, there's like a national campaign right now in terms of bullying. You know, shout out to Deshaun Jackson. He fights bullying and killing.
And Al Sharpton buried the N-word. So, you know, these two important subjects there.
Absolutely. I mean, because race is a serious issue.
I heard my man Jesse Jackson call the president one.
I know. After they had the funeral for it, he dug it up and slung one at the president.
Listen, man, I ain't going to give you my opinion on the N-word, man, because I know, like, I have a different thought. I'm antiquated in my thinking. But with that being said, man, like, race will always be an issue. For those who say race isn't an issue and we just have to get past
it. We live in a post-racial society.
FOH, that phrase is the dumbest phrase I've ever heard in my life.
We live in a post-racial society. Look at all the beautiful in mind.
Because listen, man, we all are prejudiced. Whether you want to believe or not, everybody's prejudiced, man. We always prejudge people, man. You know what I'm saying?
We broke it down
to prejudge black
people. Latin roots. He broke it down to the Latin roots.
That's what we do. We do prejudge people, man. I mean, if you see a chick and she got a fatty but she got a Newport in her mouth, you're going to prejudge her and say she got 8 kids or something, right?
If I see her, she got a fatty and she got a tattoo on her lower back, I'm thinking that.
Exactly. So you're going to prejudge. And that's my point. That's all. That's my point, King. That's what we do. We prejudge, man. Yo. All
right. But
Naeem, though. Let's see what Naeem, because Naeem has fell off. He's back, though.
I'm laughing at the Newport and a fatty. I ain't gonna say what I was saying.
But it's
bad. Don't prejudge.
But no, I don't know if y'all familiar with the area of South Baltimore, and it's a very mixed area, and it's a lot of.
It's a post-racial area.
Exactly, and they use that word very freely, and I be looking at them like, oh no, this ain't coming to that though.
Yeah.
I used to get, you know, I mean, it's sad, but dude's looking to get a paycheck. That's all. He's going to see
the
NFL, get money.
Man. It's going to work, though. I ain't going to knock the country, man. Go ahead.
Nah.
What you gotta do?
And I was laughing at B. What'd you say?
Go ahead. I said, go ahead.
I was laughing at B last night. I was watching that Clipper game when he said the light-skinned dude was the toughest on the court. I fell out. I was like, oh, Matt Barnes. Why? I mean, it was sad to me because Blake Griffin is so soft. So it was funny to me to see Matt Barnes come to his rescue.
But you know what's crazy, Naeem? It's like Blake Griffin might be soft. And the thing is, I don't even know if he is soft, but the perception is that he's soft.
He's soft.
Everybody tries him.
He's soft.
No one gets tried as much as Blake Griffin.
No, but I mean, it's not the point about him being licensed. He just started picking his rebounds up this year because Charles Barkley got on him. So let's be realistic there. I mean, how do you pile four and get 3 or 4 rebounds a game? Nah. The game of basketball has changed.
He took
nobody
the
know how to play
handle.
With it. Yeah. I don't know. But I'm really going to pay close attention to that Dolphins situation because it's going to be very interesting to see how this plays out.
Absolutely.
All right, yeah. So we'll probably mention it again.
Man.
We'll talk about it again next week, but thanks for your call, now.
All right, now. Take it easy, Tommy.
All right, man. Yo, but that's a crazy situation. But what I was going to ask you guys earlier today, you know, because Ed Reed has been released from the Houston Texans, and it just happened to come a day after he said his team was thoroughly outplayed and outcoached by their last opponent. So he was cut. He cleared waivers. I was going to ask you guys, is he done? Does he have anything left in the tank? But after clearing waivers, his ex-defensive coordinator, Rex Ryan, picked him up to suit up with the New York Jets. I guess I can still ask. I mean, because just because he's on the team doesn't mean he's going to make an impact. Is Ed Reed done? Should Ed Reed have walked off into the sunset with Ray Lewis after winning that Super Bowl last year? Because I thought that would have been perfect for him. But you can't tell a dude how to live his life and play his career out, so.
Go ahead, well. Jimmy. Let them know what they should do with the guy that doesn't go to the barbershop.
Yeah, I think he should probably sign with the better team. I think he can contribute, but he's nowhere near being who he once was. But in terms of having a veteran leader and someone who can be okay for your team, yeah, I mean, I don't see what I can see him on my squad, you know, but not to play every down. He's not an every down player anymore. He's just not. He's just not. You know what I mean? Like, he's not an every down player. That's you know, 86 that, man. It is what it is. He probably should have walked away.
He's a ball hawk, so at some point, you know, he's going to walk into a lucky interception. But even though I think Ed Reed is one of the greatest safeties to ever play the game, I think, you know, it's about that time. But, you know, that man's body is telling him that he can still do it, so he's going out there to prove that he can still do it. Maybe he's not going out there to prove that he can still do it. Maybe he's going out there to cash a couple more checks. I can't knock that either.
I'm laughing. We got a comment in our chat. It's not Ed Reed related, but it said Blake Griffin decided to advertise for Kia, so he bought all that on himself. But anyway.
After jumping over the headlights.
Jumping over the tire. I'm trying not to allow nostalgia and bias into my thoughts and analysis of the Ed Reed situation.
You
because
will.
I too think that, you know, he's one of the greatest safeties and defensive players to ever play. I mean, at that position, besides the God, Brian Dawkins and Ronnie Lott, I mean, there's Ed Reed. I mean, who else is there?
So you taking B-Dawk over Ed Reed? You got B-Dawk and Ed Reed versus right now. Who you got?
Dawk.
Okay.
In their prime? In their prime?
In their prime. Take your Philly bias away. In their prime.
Yeah, Dawk. In their primes, I'm taking Dawk.
I plead the fifth.
Yeah,
let me ask you a question, B. Austin. Who do you have as being the best safety ever?
Ronnie Lott.
Lott, man. Okay. All right, no doubt.
Yeah. Ronnie Lott. My criteria for safety means that you have to be able to cover downfield. You have to be able to run with receivers. I like your Steve Atwaters. I like your Chuck Cecils, but those guys couldn't cover me right now, and that's not what playing a position is about. Ed is either the smartest guy at that position ever. Ed is the one of the more athletic guys at the position, or he's just damn lucky, man. I've never seen anyone walk into interceptions the way that he walks into interceptions. He's one of those dudes that played offense on defense.
Whole comparison with him and Dawk, I think there's a lot to say about the type of leader Brian Dawkins was and what he could get out of dudes who may not have been the most talented cats. And Ed Reed, it's probably hard to knock him because you had Ray Lewis, and there was no personality on that team that was going to overshadow Ray Lewis as the leader. So he may not have gotten the chance to be the Brian Dawkins type of leader, even if that was in him, because, you know, Ray Lewis was so polarizing. So I don't know. But that's a great comparison. We'll do that as a versus one day. See what the
public
is. Ed is a great – I don't know if he should still play. You know, the last time I saw him play, two seasons ago, he played a half a season and got 8 picks. How do you play 8 games?
By mistake. Him,
yo, so it's like you want to say time to go. Yo, it's time to go, but your man got 8 picks in 8 games. Like,
all right, well,
who does that?
Yeah, Eddie Reed does it. But, fellas, are the Carolina Panthers for real? They won the slugfest with the defensive struggle 10-9 with the San Francisco 49ers last week. Are they for real?
Defined for real. Define it.
I mean, are they a contender?
Could you see the Carolina Panthers in the Super Bowl?
No, I think
they're in the right direction. They're going in the right direction. I think they've improved as a team. Their defense is nasty. I still think the coach is a little bit too conservative. I still think Cam has some growing to do, Pauls. But that being said, I like the direction of the team. They're not. Like Dev mentioned on field vision, which was a great point, they're not putting that much pressure on Cam as they used to make him go out there and just make every play. They're trying to run the ball a little bit more. They do need help at the receiver position because all those guys have the dropsies. But I think they're going in the right direction. I think that next year may be the year where they contend. But this year they're just, like, you know, going to go through some growing pains, make the playoffs.
And Jim, a big part of that pressure comment was the play of the defense this season. Because, you know, for a while, you know, when Cam was lighting it up in his first 2 years, statistically, they had a lot of weapons on offense. You know, they had good tight ends, good double-headed monster at running back, even though they weren't playing. Well, people felt like they weren't playing to their potential, but I think that's because they were such a pass-heavy offense, you didn't give them a chance to get going. But now that they're being a little bit more balanced and the defense is balling, that's way less pressure than Cam had in his first 2 seasons. And, you know, their record is showing that so far. So, you know, a lot of people out there, they may misunderstand some of the stuff we say. I'm not saying, you know, give Cam less pressure like it's a bad thing, like he couldn't handle it. But it's like, you know, any team, if you create more balance offensively and defensively, then it helps the star player out. And he's getting that help this season. Carolina's surprising.
Like the growth I'm seeing at the quarterback position, still a lot for him to work on. Defense is good, particularly that front seven, but their secondary is mediocre. They may be a team that could use Ed Reed.
How's somebody that old going to make you not be mediocre anymore?
Yeah, you're right. I just said that. Their secondary is questionable, and I don't see them having the ability to score a lot of points in a shootout type of game. Like, I don't see the versatility within their offense in today's NFL. So in a ball control situation where you're going to score 30 points or under, I think, you know, and their defense can hold you, they have a strong chance of winning. I do think they're a 10-6, 9-7, 10-6 team. Legitimately, they can get into the playoffs, but they're going to run into a team that can really put a lot of points up, and they're not going to be able to keep up.
All right, we got like a minute. I mean, I want to get you guys' picks on Denver and Kansas City as well, but we're not going to have time to preview the game. But before we get to those picks, what the hell is wrong with Colin Kaepernick?
He's not good.
He got a bunch of endorsements. He got a bunch of gun jumpers out there. He got a new lady. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Well, let's see if she's around after this season. But you know, he's going through growing pains.
Your man makes one read, then runs.
He's a starting quarterback, man. And I think that like we talk about it all the time. A lot of these guys are falling into the whole thing that they have to produce right away. They're not allowed to go through growing pains. He's going through growing pains, man.
Which is a great point because, you know, fans don't allow it anymore. You know, I'm pretty sure they're not good at their new job, but they want to hold this type of pressure to an athlete. It remains to be seen because people see his upside and they rave about it. And I guess playing so well so early, it really spoils fans. And now he's going to get no love until he plays at that level again. All right, Jimmy's Broncos, one-loss Broncos, the undefeated Chiefs coming to town, a matchup that people have been waiting for because they want to see if the Chiefs can even be competitive with a team that's considered a great team in the league. B. Austin, who you got winning this one?
KC, but no Mac.
KC. Jimmy? The Denver Broncos fan, you got the home team taking it.
I'll be brief, baby, brief. I'm scared because Andy Reid coming off a bye is dangerous. But with that being said, it's
probably
Broncos
the best
game
of all time.
We're
right.
At home,
greatest
bro.
Of all time coming off the
bye. Yeah, I know.
All right, so I think the Broncos will win as well. Like you guys already know, I'm one of the people who, you know, I don't like to hear the fans disrespect Kansas City so much. You know, they're 9-0. They may not have played the greatest teams in the league, but you lined up 9 teams. They knocked down 9 teams. You know, give them their props because being 9-0 is going to get you, you know, most likely is going to get you into the playoffs with a very good seed. So once you get there, anything can happen. So don't knock them. Take us out of here. It's time to roll.
You already know. All I want to say is, yo, Miami Dolphins, get your champagne ready. Thanks for joining us again. The War Room Good People. Shout out to everybody in the chat room, those on Facebook, Twitter. Everybody chimed in and called. And for those we didn't get to, we apologize. Holler at us next week. Special thanks to Fred Perdue, as usual, from Heavy in the Game, talking college football with us. Tune in next week, same time, same place, for more sports talk. You know where we can find us. Facebook.com, War Room Sports, Twitter.com, War Room Sports, WarRoomSportsTV.com for the video content. Until next time, everybody, don't accept mediocrity and be steadfast in the war against ignorance. We'll see you chumps on top.
All right, another shout-out to Mastery Charter School. War Room Sports, love the kids.
Know the blueprint. Yo, every Thursday, 6 to 8, they do this. Shout out to Dez, PJ, B-Austin, Doc Bay on replay. WarRoomSports.com. Get that mobile app. It's not dialed. Call it 323-4-0012. They've been going and you sensitive, then oh well. Yeah. Physical podcast, let's talk sports. Showtime like magic in the block push. Listen live, push one to join in. Rip your team or listen for your enjoyment. Hip-hop dollars, pit stop and knowledge. Should be in sports credits, I ain't talking college. Five guys, no beef though. Corporate secret, but the streets know. Belafonte, I got a G-flow. KC, royalty, I'm in beast mode. 2 hours, get your game up. Who's the best in sports cast? You better name us. War Room Sports.
War Room Sports, www.warroomsports.com. What? Ain't no more to it.